Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Good morning, Steve Dales, Pet World on WGN. People have been asking me to do this, so I'm about to do it and talk to the new executive director at Chicago Animal Care and Control. A lot of noise has been out there about this, and I would suggest most of that has greatly been over-exaggeration and noise among animal people, but among most of you, the general public, people who have a dog or a cat or just care about pets, you don't know what we're talking about here. And it's kind of been insider politics in many, many ways. But what's important is the truth about what Chicago Animal Care and Control has been doing for the animals that are in their care in Chicago. And we'll talk about that with Sue Capello. As I said, Sue, you've been, and congratulations on being named the executive director, but it's not like you, Animal Care and Control is a new gig for you, is it?
No, it's not, Steve. I've been here for quite some time.
How many years? Do you know offhand? You must?
Wow. The writing is on the wall, right? So I actually started at Animal Care and Control in late 1990 in an entry-level position. Was here for about a year and a half and then went over to another department for about 8 years. Came back here, if my math is doing me right, in about 2002 in the role of human resources. So I was doing HR stuff for this department, including budgeting, finance, all that other fun stuff, and was doing that here for quite a few years.
And you were acting executive director for several years recently before you were named executive director. You could be working right now, I suppose, Department of Education, the sewer department, for all I know. I don't know. What keeps bringing you back to animal control?
Well, animal control, I guess, to everybody, you know, animals need voices, right? My role for the voice of the animals in the past has been, again, HR. So I'm hiring those who are caring for the animals, hiring those who are out in the field, working with the members of the public on public safety to ensure the humane care of animals, and hiring everybody who wants to work here for the right reasons. And that was my role here for all those years. And that's why I came back, because I was able to put forth my experience with animals and get people hired who want to work here.
Oh, we're missing one thing, and that is the word empathy, which you have a whole lot of as well. So not only are you a savvy manager, from what I've seen, but also very empathetic to the position that not only animals are in, but the people who give them up. I would suggest that, Sue, most people lined up outside your door really do not want to give up their animal. They feel like they are in a position where they need to do that. In fact, there have been studies, national studies, that have shown that's the case. Have you found that as well?
Absolutely. And the one thing that I've been saying over the past few years when I get to say it is this is Chicago Animal Care and Control is the last place you want to bring your owned pet. Owned pets are used to being in the house, in their homes, in their own backyards, not here in a kennel. And we just see these animals like shut down almost immediately when they walk through the door. So this should be the last resort, but we're here to help. So if you need to come here to see us, we are here to help with some services.
And I want to talk about some of those services and what Paws Chicago specifically is doing. But before I do that, I want to talk about that line outside the door. When I said line outside the door, now picture this, friends, that at some point in the day when you open up for animals for intake, there literally is a line outside the door, people with cats and carriers, people with dogs on leashes, sometimes in tears, sometimes entire families are there, wanting to or needing to give up their pet because they feel they they have no other choice. And it's not only in Chicago. This is true all over the country. It's happening, and it's happening in numbers that we haven't seen in a very long time. What is your explanation for that?
Well, I mean, people need help, right? It's very expensive to own a pet, with either medical care for your pet or even just feeding your pet. Dog food is on the rise. Cat food, cat litter is all on the rise. So prices are a big thing. Housing instability is a whole nother subject that we seem to find a lot of people coming here for. They have to move. They're being evicted. They have to find another place to stay. They're new. They're moving in with other family members who don't want pets there. I mean, there are a lot of different reasons that people have to surrender their own pets. But remember, we're also here to take in those animals who are found stray on the street. So if you do find a pet that's loose and you are able to apprehend that animal safely, we ask you for your due diligence to try to find that animal its home within the neighborhood that you found it in. And if not, we're here to take that animal in and help try to find the owner and reunite that pet with their owner, too.
I'm glad you brought that up. So what if someone sees a stray dog and they can't catch that stray dog? They're unable, unwilling, it doesn't matter. Do they call your department?
So 311 City Services, they call 311 and they put in a service request of a report of a stray dog. I will say that, unfortunately, we don't get to those calls in a timely manner, because the dog is not just going to sit on that street corner while we call somebody way from the north side to go all the way to the south side to try to apprehend that animal. We do ask you to use your social media. Social media has been, in this case, a blessing to reunite pets with their homes. Snap a picture, get a good description. Say that this animal, you know, the purple dog was found on the corner of this and that at this time. If it's your dog, go check that area. I see it firsthand in my own neighborhood, that social media is the best way to try to reunite that pet with their home.
And specifically, I think Nextdoor is a good place to go.
Oh, yeah.
As well, yep, for that kind of thing. And if you're talking about
it, all socials.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're talking about a purple dog, you're probably talking about a dog in my neighborhood. I don't know. Sue Capello is the executive director of Chicago Animal Care and Control. When we come back, I want to talk about what I think, anyway, one of the biggest misconceptions about municipal facilities, Chicago or anywhere else in the country. We will do that when we come back on WGN. She is the executive director of Chicago Animal Care and Control, a place that I think most of you might not even know exists. So we'll tell you where Chicago Animal Care and Control is in just a little bit. I think that, Sue, people don't always understand. They see snippets in social media. So here's the truth, that by law, you and most facilities like you, in fact, just about all of them, all over the country, municipal facilities, by law, must take in any animal at your door. So if someone has a pet giraffe, you've got that pet giraffe if they take them to you, if they could fit under the door, because that's the law. It doesn't matter if it's non-human and it's an animal. You've got to tarantula. You've got, for all I know, you probably have had some. You've got to take in those animals. The problem is this. If you have space for, say, 10 animals and 30 are at your door, and you have space, of course, for much more than 10, but I'm just trying to make a point, then what can you do? And then the animal control facilities are frequently criticized if they have no choice. Now, the good news is, Sue, you are executive director in the year 2026, not the year 1926. So today, you have rescue partners. Today, you have foster families. Today, you have shelters from all over the city and suburban area who pull from your facility to make it possible for you to have more space. Can you talk about all of that a little bit?
That's a lot, Steve. Do we have an hour or two?
I know.
So, yes, we are basically an open admission municipal shelter. So we do take everything that comes to our door. Of course, we have minimum hours to do that. You know, we don't just we don't have enough staff to really handle a 24-hour open intake shelter like that. Our hours for intake for the general public to walk up with an animal are 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. So we are here 7 days a week. And then to adopt or find your lost pet, we're open from noon until 7 days a week. So please visit us for that reason. As far as animal intake, I lost my train of thought. What was the question again?
That you must take in anything at your door, and no matter how many come in. But the good news is you have help today that wasn't perhaps available some number of years ago.
Got it. So besides adoption and people finding their lost pet, we work with over 110, 120 rescue groups. And those are smaller shelters or independent shelters who maybe have foster-based housing so that they can pull animals from us. But we have an agreement with them. It's through our Homeward Bound Animal Placement Program. And they can come and pull animals from us at any time. Now, they have a different... it may be different resources. They can invest more into training services or even medical for the animals that we have here. So they will invest in them and hold them in foster homes, which makes room for them to take more animals from us. But we do encourage all of these groups to really pull locally, pull from the local Animal Care and Control Center, which is us. So that we do have the room for those animals who truly need us, like that giraffe who has a kink in his neck. So we're going to help him work it out.
And in addition to all of that, thankfully, you are in Chicago, because in Chicago, we have one other open, only one other, as far as I know, open admission facility that's anti-cruelty. If anti-cruelty didn't also say, all right, come, we'll take you. Then I would imagine the line outside your door would be at least twice as long.
I would agree with that, absolutely.
So you do what you can, but still, there is only so much space. And I believe, and this is just me speaking, Sue, that people who do what you do, I'm talking about your staff, I am also talking about your volunteers, and I want to talk about volunteers in a moment. They are all heroes because they get a bad rap at times from the general public who say, oh, my gosh, these animals were euthanized. Well, no one wants to see that. I don't believe you have a single staff member that gets up in the morning and says, yay, if we can't find room for this animal, we get to euthanize that animal. I can't imagine that. People are doing this job, and never for enough money and for volunteers for no money, because they want to see the worst happen. They're doing it so the best can happen. And you and everyone under you are working very hard every single day to make that happen. However, with these circumstances the way they are today, that can be challenging. Having said all that, let's talk about numbers. Your numbers, including those individual animals that are adopted or fostered or somehow go to another shelter, are really good. And I don't even want to talk about no kill, but they are, in since I brought it up, over 90% at times, which puts you in the no-kill territory. For a municipal shelter, actually, that's amazing.
Yeah, we do really well. Again, our adoption numbers have increased significantly over the last couple of years. Even right now, we're trending on the upward of beating out last year's well, we definitely beat out last year's February adoption numbers, but adoption is really the way to go, and especially at your local shelter to adopt. Adopt, don't shop. That's what they're trying to say.
Yeah, and listen, if you adopt from that shelter over there and not from Chicago Animal Control, if the entire system is a system when shelters work together. So that means, theoretically, if you adopt from that shelter over there, over about there, then that's okay, because then they can get another animal from you. So even if they don't adopt directly from you, adoption in Chicago, in the greater metro area, helps everybody out. And what's interesting to me is the cat adoptions, you're rocking and rolling it, and it's happening all over the country. Dogs are now lagging behind, especially the big dogs.
Yeah, and we have a lot of those here, too.
Yeah, so do consider, but you're thinking, I don't know where they are. I don't know how to get there. So where is Chicago Animal Care and Control?
So Chicago Animal Care and Control is located at 2741 Southwestern Avenue in Chicago. Again, for adoptions and to look for your lost pet, we are open 7 days a week from noon until 7. And if you find a stray animal out on the street and can't reunite it with its owner out there, then you can bring it to our shelter. And for intake, we're open from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
Now, I want to talk about volunteering at Chicago Animal Care and Control, how you go about doing that. We'll talk about your monthly adoption events as well. But we won't do that until we come back with Sue Capel.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Hello on WGN. She is the executive director of Chicago Animal Care and Control. And Sue, I've told you this privately, but I'm happy to say it publicly. I am so happy you're there. I thank you so much for the hard work that you and all the people around you do every single day. What did you say? I'm sorry.
Nope, that was my intercom on the phone. My apologies.
Oh, that's okay. And I thank the people that are trying to reach you on the intercom. But, I think especially at the top of the list, and I suspect you'd agree, are the volunteers. So talk about what volunteers at CACC do and how one can become a volunteer.
Okay. So our volunteers are here at the shelter to walk, socialize, and basically show dogs available for adoption. They socialize, exercise, and show cats available for adoption. And they also walk through the whole process with our adopters. So when you come in, you're actually going to meet with a volunteer to sit down and have a conversation about what exactly you're looking for in your pet. And the volunteers who know our dogs and cats the best will match you up with one of the best animals that you can ever have. So we have those three. That's all involves dog walking, socializing, adoptions, cat exercise, socialize, adoption counseling. We also have volunteers who help us at our off-site events, like our vaccine and microchip clinics, which we start up in May. So we will be doing some of those out and about in the communities of Chicago. We also have them help with social media and marketing of our animals. And let's see, what else? Basically, our volunteers, just in the past year and a half, I believe it's been, have taken over our monthly adoption events. So all of our monthly, we do either a 1 day on the weekend or 2 days on the weekend, fee-waived adoption event, and that's all volunteer-run. They work it all out. They do the theme. They come here in droves and meet with the people so that you can get in and out with our adoptions. But they're also doing that. Now, to become a volunteer, I know a lot of people seem to think it takes forever to become a volunteer because it used to in the past. Moving forward, we have once a month, I think it's once a month, let me double check. Once a month, yes, we have volunteer information sessions. So you do have to sign up for that. It's on our website at chicago.gov/CACC, and then you'll look for the volunteering button. So you're going to sign up for a monthly information session where you're going to learn about what, again, volunteers do. You'll get a tour of the shelter, and then you'll get an application to take with you and fill out and upload into our computer system. So once you do that, one of our animal placement coordinators will reach out so that they can schedule you for fingerprints. So all volunteers with any City of Chicago department does have to go through a fingerprint background check. Once you get that scheduled and go for fingerprints, we're usually getting results back within a week on the fingerprint clearance. And from that point, you could then start the training process. So it depends if you're going the route with cats or with dogs. With cats, you probably have to do one standard training as far as handling, and then getting the cats in and out of the cage and exactly what you're going to do with them. With dogs, there's a little more detail in it. So there's your training session and then a couple of mentor sessions where you'll be hanging out with a current volunteer to make sure that you're comfortable with handling of the dogs. And throughout the shelter and where you can walk the dogs, where you can go with them, where you get all your supplies. So you're going to go through that with our mentors. And then once you're comfortable and once your mentor is comfortable that you have learned everything, you are a full-fledged volunteer.
Can you be bipedal? Can you do dogs and cats?
Absolutely, you can, yes. We have people that do that all the time, too.
All right. And, you know, it's an important thing. How many volunteers do you have?
So right now there are 200 active volunteers in our system, and when we say active, that really means we only ask for volunteers to at least commit to 10 hours a month with us. So active is 10 hours a month. We have super active volunteers. They come at least once a week. And then we have super duper active volunteers who are here two or three times a week. So it really depends on your availability and your ability to get to the shelter to put in your volunteer hours.
And would you agree the super active volunteers and really all the volunteers are kind of heroic in a way and could you have the success? And by the way, no matter what anyone says, CACC, your department is successful. Without the volunteers?
Absolutely not. We need the volunteers. So even with the number of staff that we have, we don't have the availability to walk or provide enrichment to any of the animals that are here. So our staff doesn't do any of that. This is all volunteer-based as far as enrichment for the animals. And that includes just the basic walking. Even if it's a once-a-day walk outside for 15, 20 minutes so that dog can get some exercise and use the potty outside. Because some dogs will be here and they will not use the bathroom in their kennel. So they do need those walks, and the volunteers know which ones those are. And then the volunteers get to know those individual dogs and get to really help when the adopters come in. They'll know who the right match is for that type of dog.
Do you think that there's still a misconception that somehow animals at any shelter are damaged goods?
Oh, definitely. I still think that's a regular thing. That's not the case. I mean, we have so many great animals here, and it seems like whenever I get to take one out and take them on the news, within a matter of 2-3 days, that dog is either adopted or transferred almost immediately because they're very different dogs outside of their kennel. So we have in our pavilions, you could house anywhere between 30 and 40 dogs at any one given time, which is a lot. And, you know, the dog across from you is barking, so you're barking. They don't show well inside their cage. But once you get them out and walking around in our backyard, giving them some exercise, they just turn into a big bowl of mush.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that is mostly the case for dogs and cats?
Yeah, for dogs and cats. Once you get them out their cage and they have the space to stretch their legs and roam around the room, absolutely. I mean, who wants to be stuck in a cage all day?
And you know what? You mentioned earlier, and we talked about this, that, I mean, how can it be the dog's fault, quote unquote, that the landlord decides, okay, you want a dog? Fine. That's $200 a month extra. That kind of thing has nothing to do with the dog's demeanor or behavior. Having said that, though, some people do give up dogs or cats because they can't afford medical bills. Then how do you deal with that? Because you have some budget and you do have veterinarians, but how do you deal with that kind of thing?
Well, of course, it's all with partnerships. So if somebody does come here and it really is just about their pet has chronic, let's just use ear infection as an example. So their pet has chronic ear infections and they just can't afford it anymore. They're trying to decide whether to feed their family or get their dog's ears, some medication for their ears. We work with our partners to help with that. And one of our largest partners is Paws Chicago, who helps folks get through their medical needs with their pets as long as they're willing to keep their pets. So they offer that service here on 5 days a week at this point.
Yep. And I want to talk about some other things that Paws Chicago specifically is doing that truly making a difference so people don't even need, in many cases, to give up that pet. We'll be back with Sue Capello on WGN. She is the executive director of Chicago Animal Care and Control. Sue Capello, you just received more money from Mayor Brandon Johnson. That's wonderful. Yay! But we're still not on par, I don't believe, with other cities our size as far as a budget. I'm not saying there's no gratitude there. It's wonderful that there is a bit more money, but it's still, I can't imagine. And money does matter, I assume.
Absolutely, money matters. Why wouldn't it?
For all of us, too. All right, so I teased what Pasha called. So let's say there's a line outside the door, as there often is, and people, I was going to say seeking to give up, but they don't seek in general to give up their pet. They're in line feeling, okay, my back is up against the wall. I have no choice for any number of reasons to give up that animal. And the first person they see, it's not an intake person from Chicago Animal Care and Control. It's actually a veterinary social worker from Paws Chicago. Can you explain what this is all about?
Yes, that's correct. So Paws Chicago and Chicago Animal Care and Control are partnering, and Paws is calling it the 360 at CACC program. It's basically a public-private partnership between Paws and Animal Care and Control, and designed to provide life-saving resources for Chicago's animals, right? So this program was developed in response to the surge of animals that were coming into the shelter. And basically, PAWS is providing assistance to pet owners who want to keep their pets, but just can't afford it for whatever reason it's going to be. And so when they get here, we have a group of social workers. It started with one, and now there's about six other interns who are working with Savannah from PAWS Chicago, and they are social workers. So they will talk to them and really get down to the root of why that Chicagoan is here to surrender a pet or to bring the pet to the shelter. Sometimes, again, I think we talked about it before, it could just be a medical condition where PAWS can actually send that pet over to the clinic and get some treatment real quick. Sometimes, you know, landlords won't let you have a pet who's not already altered or spayed or neutered. So spay or neuter is an easy one to get that animal fixed. Sometimes your cat is spraying because he's not neutered. So, yes, let's get him fixed and he won't do that anymore. And you can keep that pet into your home. So PAWS, as their resources allow, will help in a bunch of different situations to help keep those pets in their home. And that's one of my goals, too, is keeping pets in the homes with the families who love them.
Of course, because those families do love their animal. They don't want to give up their animal. How impactful has this program been? And before you answer, I want to add one more question to it. You know, other similar programs have happened all over the country. And one difference is, to my knowledge, is that PAWS Chicago is providing professionals. These are trained folks, veterinary social workers. So nothing wrong with just volunteers doing this. That's nice. Mm-hmm. But these people have resources. And of course, PAWS has resources themselves that others may not. Have you found this program to be successful?
Absolutely. So PAWS Chicago puts up their the statistics from the program on their website on a quarterly basis now. And they've helped they've invested well over $1 million into the programming altogether. Just since they started in late 2023, I'm probably misquoting that date. So they've invested well over $1 million into the program to help people keep their pets. And the social work program, I mean, it's a wonderful program. So not only are they helping those looking to surrender animals, but they're going to be placing somebody out in the front at our adoption table. So when folks are here to adopt or to look for their lost pet, they also get those same types of resources that are available to anybody to surrender. So PAWS is helping folks who are adopting also in case they need training for their adoptable pet or anything else, any other type of services. But the social workers are definitely it's just a wonderful thing to have here. Not only are they helping the folks bring the animals in, but they're also sitting there talking to our staff and helping them through their day, too, because it could be rather stressful working here.
You know, what you just said brings something else to mind. I think people don't know that. You know, Chicago police officers see the worst every day. They see the best at times, but they see the worst every day. You guys do, too. And I think the general public doesn't necessarily understand that or know that. One of the former executive directors was telling me about the time that a burnt cat was just left at the door. And this cat had been suffering all night long and was past the point of being able to do anything but to humanely euthanize the cat, you know. And you see this kind of thing day after day after day after day. It must get awfully tough. What makes it possible for you to keep going? And tell me the best thing about your job.
Oh, okay. So to keep going, most recently, with over the past 6-7 months, we actually have a certified wellness coordinator who comes in at least once a month to talk to our staff. In addition to that, one of our current volunteers is a social worker, and she holds monthly sessions with the volunteers themselves for their own wellness. So just talking about it, I think, is one of the biggest things, allowing that outlet for somebody to speak about their feelings and what's going on so that somebody's hearing the staff. I mean, my door is always open as much as I'm here and not doing meetings. people come and talk to me all the time, and that was my HR role, always telling folks that my door is always open. Let's come and have a conversation. But, you know, the wellness coordinators that we have here have just been a wonderful thing. And then in addition to the social workers.
And the best thing about your job?
Oh, the best thing about my job, huh, is really the adoptions and people finding their lost pets. I mean, when you go out to the front lobby and you just see that family who's been looking all over the place for their lost cat or their lost dog, and they found that animal, just brings joy to my heart. It really does, to find animals who get to go home, into a home and out of the shelter. Because, again, dogs and cats both show so much better outside of here than inside the kennel doors. And that's really the best thing about it, is to get to see the progression from the animals when they get here in their kennels, getting the enrichment they need, and then getting out into a home is the best thing.
Well, Sue Capello, I can't thank you enough. and the volunteers and your staff. And talking to you, by the way, is talking, I mean, you've always been transparent. You continue to be. And that's a breath of fresh air as to what it was many years ago. So thank you for that as well, because in talking to you, I know I get the truth. I appreciate that. I appreciate you. And I am sure we'll be talking again.
Yes, thank you.
Many of you know who Dr. Jane Goodall is, right? I had the opportunity and the privilege, and indeed it is a privilege, to interview Dr. Goodall several times for WGN Radio and also for print, for the Chicago Tribune and elsewhere. What an amazing lady. Everything you think about her positively is absolutely true. She was one of the three primatologists that Dr. Louis Leakey said, go out and study the great apes, our relatives, that we don't know about. And she studied originally chimpanzees. Later, became an activist throughout the rest of her life. Dr. Diane Fossey, Gorillas in the Mist, studied gorillas. The least known of the three ladies, which were also called, what were they called? Lewis's Angels. Because at that time, there was a popular TV show, Charlie's Angels, remember? The third, the least well-known, Dr. Birute Geldikas. She studied orangutans, Bornean orangutans, to be specific, in Borneo, where actually I got to know her. I spent some time in Borneo years ago, and I do mean years ago, in the 1980s, doing field research, following and taking notes about orangutans and what their habits were, what they ate, who they associated with in the forest, etc. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. Well, years ago, if you saw the movie Gorillas in the Mist, you know Dr. Diane Fossey, who I did interview once, was killed. Dr. Goodall passed away late last year. And now Dr. Geldikas has passed away. You can hear the last interview she did for the public. She did it with me on WGN Radio. And you can type in her name, Birute Geldikas at WGNradio.com. And if you're interested, you can hear the conversation. She was, of course, an incredible lady. She gave her life to better understanding orangutans, but also to protecting the forest of Borneo and in Indonesia in general. The greatest threat, palm oil. So she would love it if I told you, don't buy products with palm oil if you can possibly help it. Her paperback book about her life, which is fascinating and amazing, The Turns It Takes, it's like a soap opera, Reflections of Eden, My Years with Orangutans in Borneo. Dr. Biruta Geldikas, Dr. Jane Goodall, Dr. Diane Fossey, I don't know if we'll ever have scientists like you again. So another job I do here at WGN Radio is the host of the podcast Booth 46. We do this from Pettirino's Restaurant. It's dropped, as they say, doesn't that sound official, twice a month. And you can check it out wherever you listen to your podcast or at WGNradio.com. It's available anywhere podcasts are. And I am so lucky to talk to some great people, including, most recently, David Byrne of the Talking Heads. How cool is that? He has a show running called Theater of the Mind in Chicago, which we discuss. And also former Governor Pat Quinn, named multiple times the most humane governor. And I worked with him on several animal bills. We reminisce about that. So check it out at WGNradio.com under podcast Booth 46. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early on WGN.